thinking about our Father's love for us this morning. You know, there's no doubt that any of us here this morning would question that God loves us. And matter of fact, there's a lot of non-believers that would not question the fact that God loves them, which is kind of an irony in a way, but it's true. And matter of fact, this epistle of John was written in particular to some of those people that said that God loved them and they loved God, but there was some problems there that he was addressing. But for us as believers, we believe that God loves us. But how much does he love us? In what ways is his love manifested in our lives? Not only at conversion, but here and now. How does his love for us impact us? And also thinking about the future. And that's what John is addressing this morning in writing this epistle. He was gripped by the Holy Spirit in dealing with this very issue. The love that the Father has for us and what that does for us as believers and living for today and thinking about tomorrow. So let's approach this text asking God to apply it to our hearts this morning. Starting at verse 1 in chapter 3, John writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Behold! That's an attention getter. I love it when we come, when we're studying a passage of Scripture and they give us a little help. Hey, this is important. Look at what we're about to read. See it. Fix your eyes upon it. This is significant. This is vital. So John starts off by saying, "Behold, let us consider this important truth." And so he presents some truths about God's love for us, the Father's love for his children. And if you're taking notes this morning, we're going to consider 20 ways in which God loves us. Kelly looked up. I got a response from Bill. Now, we'll consider 5 ways in which God bestows his love on this morning. And the first thing that grabs our attention, consider what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. We see that God's love is a bestowing love. He has given his love to us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "God is love." That's why he is able to give love, because he is love. We also read in 1 John 4:19 that God loved us first. He gave his love to us first. Because we deserved it? Because we earned it? No, it's a gift. He has given us the gift of his love. We love him because he first loved me. He first loved you. That's grace. That is gracious love. Not because you're worthy, not because I'm worthy, not because I've earned it, but because he gave it as a gift from his being, which is love to us. He has loved us. He has bestowed his love on us. Now, everyone doesn't see God's love in this way. I was watching television a couple weeks ago, and there was a pastor on television who was teaching about the love of God and how we should not be ashamed and we should of ourselves and have poor self-esteem, but that we should realize that God loves us. And that should make us feel better about ourselves. Now, up to that point, I was with him until he said, God loves you because you're worthy, because you deserve it. And that's about the time that I lost my breakfast, because it's show me in Scripture where it says that we are worthy of God's love. It's not there. But on the contrary, it is very clear that we are unworthy and undeserving. God's love is a gift. The second thing we notice is it's an electing love. An electing love. He has bestowed his love on us in that he has called us to be children of God. He has called us. This is the result of his gracious love. In loving us, he has acted upon that love by electing you, calling me to be his children. You know, a child doesn't choose who his father is going to be. My daughter Cassie did not choose me to be her dad. A lot of you parents that have had children probably think that at some time if the children had a choice, they might choose someone else to be their parents. But the fact is our children do not choose who their father's going to be. And in the same way, we as his children, we didn't choose God to be our father. It was an electing love. God first loved and then called us to be his children. There's a verse in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, that says this. It talks about the Father's will in choosing us to be his children. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And listen to this. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of what? The will of God. It was the Father's will to make us his children. And in Ephesians 1, verse 5, it says, God has predestined us to be his sons. Why? Why would God choose me to be his child, knowing that I'm not worthy? According to the pleasure of his will. God was pleased to call you to be his child. That is the reason. There is nothing in me. There is nothing in you. But it pleased our Father to make us his children. What love. What love. The other thing we notice, the third thing, is that it's an adopting love. An adopting love. He has called us to be his children. We are the children of God. Now. That's our position now before God as his children. Now you start to see how vast, how lavish God's love is when you start to think about this idea that we are his children. Especially when you realize who we were before we were his children. The Bible makes it very clear. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 that before we were his children, before we were believers, we were children of wrath. Now that's not a very pleasant place to be. But that was our position before God before we were believers. We were children of wrath. God's anger burned against the unbeliever. Because according to Ephesians chapter 2, before we were Christians, we were walking according to the rest of the world in unbelief, in rebellion, according to the Spirit, of disobedience, that's where we were at. It's reality. But God saw fit in His love that once we were children of wrath, now we're children of God. And in 1 John chapter 4, John goes as far to call us children of the devil. Now, either you're a child of Satan or you're a child of God. There's no in between. Let's not mix words here. Either you're a child of Satan, of the devil, or you're a child of God. And when we start seeing who we were before, we see how great God's love is for us, and that now we're His sons. And Romans 8 says that as His sons, we are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that God has, everything that God has blessed His Son with, He blesses His children with. We are not second-class citizens. We are not stepchildren. We are full joint heirs with Christ. Now think about that. I don't know how many of you have come from homes that have had stepchildren or known people that have adopted children. And this is always a concern. Will we love our stepchild or our adopted child as much as the rest of our children? I was watching a little interview with Dan Marino a couple weeks ago right before the Super Bowl. They were talking about the different NFL players and kind of giving us an intimate view in their lives. And they talked about Dan Marino. He had three children, he and his wife, and they wanted a fourth. And they tried to adopt because they couldn't have any more children. They were getting up in their age. And they found that there's a lot more parents that want children than children that are available. So for years they tried to adopt within the United States. And then they finally had to go outside this country to adopt a child. And it came about that there was a child in China. There's a lot of children in China that are abandoned, especially women, females, girls, because the male is the one who takes the prominent place in their society. And so a lot of babies that are girls are abandoned. And so they're full, China's full of these young little female girl babies that are in orphanages run by the state, and the conditions are deplorable. But they felt very strongly about adopting a little child from China. And they got a fax with a picture of the child, and you could barely make it out, but it was a little girl. And so Mrs. Marino went over there and to meet this little girl that they wanted to adopt. And she said that what's going through her mind is, here she's meeting a child that she's thinking about adopting. And she's never met her. She doesn't know, will I love her? Well, will I feel like a mother to her? Will I accept her as one of my own and will the rest of my family? And the long short of it is, and the story, is that when she first saw that child with sores all over its body, malnourished, without really any love in its first few months of life, when she saw that child, her motherly love just poured out of her heart onto this child. And she spent a few weeks with this child in China before bringing her home. And their testimony is this, is we love that child just if it was one of our own. This is how God loves us. He adopts us as His own, but He loves us as fully and as much as He loves His own Son. We are joint heirs with Him. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and He seated us up at the right hand of Christ in heaven. That's our position as children now, seated at the right hand of Christ in heaven. There is no second-class citizens in heaven. This is how much God has loved you and me. He's graced us with love. He's elected us with His love. He's adopted us as His children with love. And now there's two results of this love that we see in the present and in the future that John addresses here. His love for us impacts us now. We are His children now. And it also impacts our future state in eternity. The fourth way that we see God's loving us is it's a transforming love. It transforms us. And in verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." The love that God has for us is a transforming love, and that we know with confidence, with assurance, that when we die, we will be with Him. And when He comes, as according to 1 Corinthians 15, at the last trumpet sound, we will be transformed in a twinkling of the eye to be with Him. That is assurance of His love. We know where we're going to go. We know where we're going to spend eternity with Him. And did you catch this other phrase that's a wonderful picture of God's love? We shall see Him as He is. Now in John chapter 1, in the Gospel, He says, "No one has seen God at any time except the only begotten who is of the Father. He has revealed Him." No human being has ever seen God. And I'm reminded of those passages in the Old Testament where Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And God covered his eyes and passed before him. And he shone with with the glory of God. And Isaiah, upon seeing the glory of God, a glimpse of His glory in the temple, was so aware of His depravity and how unworthy He was before the presence of God. But because of the cross, because of God's love for you and for me, because Christ has clothed us in His righteousness, we will see God face to face without shame, without fear, because of the blood of Christ and the Father's love for us. We will see God face to face. It's a transforming love that gives us hope. This is our hope as Christians. The assurance of where we will be when we die, and the assurance that we will stand before our God without shame, without guilt, without a sense of unworthiness because of Jesus Christ. And lastly, it's a purifying love. It affects me today. It transforms me today because I desire to be holy as He is holy. It says, "This hope purifies us because God Himself is pure." God is working in us today because He loves you and me to make us holy, to make us more Christ-like. He is working in us because He loves us to make us more like Him. We read this morning in Hebrews chapter 12 that one of the ways that He does this is by discipline. He brings hardship into our lives. As a father disciplines His child, so the Father disciplines us because He loves us. And when we go through hardships as Christians, it's not because God is unhappy with us, that God is angry at us, that God is pouring out any type of wrath upon us. He is shaping us. He is molding us. He is chiseling away at our sin nature to make us more like Him. It's a Father's love, and it purifies us. So when we go through trials, as Kelly shared, and as many of us are going through, we realize it's from the hand of God, a loving Father relating to a child that He loves. Which one of us as loving parents would ever discipline one of our kids, except if it wasn't for their ultimate good? That's how God deals with you and me. He purifies us with His love, many times through discipline. But He does love us. So this gives us a picture. And I feel so inadequate. I wish I could communicate the Word of God so much clearer so we could gain such a great grasp of how much God loves you and me. I think this passage is a great picture, and that He has graced us with His love. He's elected us. He's adopted us. He has transformed us. And He is purifying us because of His gracious love. How do we love God back? How do the children love the Father? As we think about this great truth, it should produce in us gratefulness, gratitude, thankfulness, appreciation for our God and how much He has loved us and is loving us and will love us for eternity, and cause our hearts to bow before our God and worship. This is what the God's love does for us, and this is what it produces in His children. Children who love to worship their God. It also produces in us a confidence that we have in Christ. In Christ, before our Father, because He loves us and we're His children, there's no shame, no guilt, no fear. And John says, perfect love casts out all fear. When we realize how much God loves you and loves me, what is there to fear about? God loves us. And He is bestowing this love on us every day, past and present and in the future. So we have confidence in that we can stand before God because of Christ and not be ashamed and not have fear. And we know from Romans 8 that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Do you ever feel unworthy? Who am I that I'm a Christian? Who am I that I can ever do anything for Christ? I'm a sinner. I'm ashamed of who I am. That is not because of the Word of God. That is not based upon your position before God. That's a lie that Satan loves to put in the minds of God's children. If you are in Christ, you are made worthy because of the cross. And we can be remorseful for our sin, but never live in a spirit of shame or guilt. That is not what a child of God does, because he realizes the love the Father has for him. And in turn, he loves to please his Father. There is nothing that you and I can do to ever cause God not to love us. And there's two other things to think about, that the love of God that he has loved us with produces in us a desire to love him back by obeying his word, obedience. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. If you love God, you love his word. You long to please your Father. I long to please my God. And I do it by the power of his Holy Spirit that is working in me. God is working in me and in you. And lastly, we love each other. He who loves God must love his brother. And if anyone says that he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar. We love each other. This is what the love of God does for us. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know how God is going to choose to apply this passage to your hearts. But the reality of his word is that God has loved us so much, so vastly, so immensely, that today we are called his children. And we can live before him in confidence because of what he's done for us. And asking him to empower us with a desire to love him back by obeying his word and loving each other. And Paul writes in Ephesians 3, may we be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the knowledge of God. This is my prayer for us this morning. Beloved, behold the manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God. And we are. Let's pray. God, we simply bow before you this morning. And I pray that you have given us a deeper sense of how vast your love is for us, how you have lavished your love upon us. And I pray, God, that our love for you has increased just that much more. Meet us where we're at this morning, God. Apply this word to our hearts. Help us, God, we pray, to love you. Even when we feel inadequate, we feel unworthy, God, we pray that we will claim the cross of Christ that makes us worthy, that makes us lovable. Father, help us in this way, we pray, to love your word and to love each other. For your glory, for your praise, for your honor. All in the name of Christ, we pray this morning. Amen.